Some of you have come a couple times. Some of you have come a lot of times. Some of you never come. But we encourage you to be a part of intercessory prayer. It'll make a difference in your life. One of the things is the enemy will do everything he can to distract you and discourage you. Isn't that encouraging? If you want the attack of the enemy upon your life, start praying. You say, well, that's kind of a backwards way of looking at things. It is, but it's going to happen. But when you stand faithful over time, God will honor your prayers and your faithfulness to serve him. Since we've started intercessory prayer, I don't know how many sicknesses and problems and stuff we've had among this group who prays. The attack has been on, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so, it was in an intercessory prayer time that the Lord began to speak to my heart. And I found myself, it was kind of a strange thing, I found myself praying some words that I had not thought of prior to it. I never really thought about it at all, to be honest with you. But I just began to pray, Lord, make us a people prepared. And everything I prayed, I would, Lord, make us a people prepared for, and I'd fill in the blank. And this happened for several weeks, and it's not vocabulary that I've used in other times in prayer. It's just something that the Lord began to speak into my heart and through me as I began to feel the anointing of the Lord in intercessory prayer. And it was from that and from that experience that the Lord gave me this series that I want to begin today for the next few weeks as we look at what it means to be a people prepared. Today we're going to talk about what it means to be a people prepared for his presence. Then we're going to talk about being a people prepared for his power. We're going to talk about being a people prepared for his purpose. We've talked a little bit about that before, but we're going to come back to it again from a different perspective. We're going to be talking about being a people prepared for his provision. How many of you like God to provide for all your needs? Well, you know what? He says it in his word, he will, but there's some things we need to do to be prepared for his provision. And so we're going to talk about that. And then the last one is one that's dear to my heart. I did a whole series on this, and I'll just come back and talk about a couple of scriptures I didn't talk about then. And that is to be a people prepared for his pleasure. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next weeks. And God has laid some deep things in my heart to do that. Now, before you go on a journey, Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 14 that we should count the cost. We should begin to find out what the cost would be. In other words, what Jesus is encouraging us to do in that passage is that we would be people who would prepare ourselves for the journey God has for us. You know, Clark and Jen have been preparing to go back to New Guinea almost the whole time they've been here, except for a little bit at the first. They kind of just went, and then they started preparing. They've been going to meetings. They've been meeting with people, getting sponsors, doing all this. Because when they get to the mission field, they need to have been prepared. You don't just go to the mission field unprepared. Because it's scary enough when you are prepared. Much less if you're not. See? And so, every Sunday morning, I get up here to speak a message to you. I've become prepared. I don't just come up here and just kind of go, well, God, whatever you want to ding around, just ding it. I come prepared. I've been before God. I've been in his word. I've been seeking the face of the Lord, finding God's purpose and direction for our church and where we need to teach and what we need to do. And I pray that we would become a church that comes to church each Sunday, to the building here, to our facility, prepared to worship. Not coming to get somebody to drum us up to worship, but we come prepared to worship. How many of you believe with all your heart that God, the God of heaven that we serve, deserves all worship and all praise? How many of you believe that? If you believe that, then we need to come prepared to do it. In other words, we don't need to come in all mad at our husband and our wife or all upset at our kids or our parents. Amen. Get that fixed. We don't need to be mad at our car. Wish we had a new one. Now, you'll be thinking about that on Sunday morning. Think about that some other time. We don't need to be worried about what we're going to put in our bellies. Sunday afternoon when we get out of church, whenever Pastor Ron gets done. Don't think about it. You'll get food soon enough. You're not going to die. You're not going to famish. Your throat's not going to think it's been cut. It's going to be okay. It's fine. Get your mind off of it. Don't go to church thinking, well, I'm going to church so I can get it over with. I mean, that's kind of, when we don't say that, but that's kind of how a lot of people come to church. They come to the service kind of thinking, well, I'm going so I can get out and go to lunch. Or I can get out and be with my family. Or I can get out and go, you know, cut up limbs or whatever it is. But that's not what we come for, is it? We come to get from God and receive from God the things that we need so that we can touch a world that's lost and dying. And limbs are need to be cut up, and there's things that need to be done. In fact, we got a few limbs out here if somebody's so called. Just don't stack them on our property. They won't pick it up from the church. I won't explain that. Anyway, the thing is that we have to become a people prepared for his presence. Now, I think that if I was to ask, I would get another hearty amen, that all of us in this room, or at least most of us, if we're accustomed to God at all, would say a hearty amen to the fact that we would like to see God show up on Sunday. Wouldn't we? Don't you like it when we have one of those churches, that church services, where we just start praying for people and God moves and it's powerful? Wouldn't you like to have those times? How many of you would like to have those times? Would you really? Well, there's a cost to be paid. There's a cost. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the cost to experience the presence of God. Now, God's presence is always with us. Let's just establish that right now. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I believe God's presence is always with you. But I believe there's a special time God comes among us when we gather together in his name. We know that because it says where two or more agree is touching anything, he's there in the midst of them. We know he's always with us, but there's something special about people coming together in agreement, in unity, and experiencing the presence of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can go to church and do your religious duty and go home and never even touch God or be touched by God. People do it all over this country, week in and week out. I can't imagine it, but people do it. I can't imagine coming to the building with the attitude that I just, whatever. I guess I'm too involved or something. I've never been a pew sitter, even when I was a little kid. I just never really did it. When I was a little boy, I always sat in the church building about where my son Caleb's sitting today on the front row, only I couldn't reach the floor. So my legs would just swing really hard. And we had these little benches, I've told you some of you about them before, that were made out of a 1x10 with a little 1x4 scabbed on the front of it. And when you start, you know, doing that bench like this, every once in a while you get your legs caught in where the two boards come together and it'd pinch you and you go, woo! And you'd think, the Holy Spirit's on me now. I mean, we didn't know if it was the bench or God really showing up. But back in those days, we just took a chance. Somebody went, whoa, it must be God's here. And so somebody would jump all over that, an opportunity for God to show up. I think we all want God to show up, but the truth is you got to count the cost. You ever had one of those crazy dreams? You know the dreams I'm talking about? When you find yourself, you're at work and you are still in your pajamas. And you wake up and you go, thank God that was a dream. Or maybe you've made it to church and you haven't done anything to your hair. And your hair's going like that and you kind of forgot. You ever had those kind of dreams? You wake up and you go, oh man, thank goodness that's not true. Well, no, just like we get up, mostly, I hope most of you do this anyway, just like we get up on Sunday morning and we prepare physically, fix our hair and take a shower, I hope, most of you, and do those things that we do to prepare our bodies to come to church to look nice. In fact, I noticed two guys today had ties on. I didn't wear a tie today because I was going to have to teach Sunday school for the children. That's what it was. And so Clark got the memo and Frank got the memo. Don't they look nice? I like that. I think ties look great. I really do. I mean that. They come dressed. Dressed to impress. Ron over here, he's got a nice jacket on with this nice shirt. I noticed my son's up here getting hands laid on him with a long sleeve button-up shirt, actually, not a t-shirt, but the tail's out all over the place. I even noticed our worship leader had a sweater on with his shirt untucked. Isn't that something? Stylish. Hot. You know, the thing is that all that stuff that we do to prepare outwardly is important, I guess, but it's not near as important as that we would prepare our heart for the God of heaven to rest among us. So I want to talk to you about that today a little bit. I'm going to talk to you from a different perspective. Have you ever seen that those times when the President of the United States is introduced? How about like in January, I think it's like the 20th every year, he does his, what's that called, his State of the Union address. And all the people be there, even people don't like him, you know. Depends on which side of the row you're on, I guess, or something. And a guy back at the door will go, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." Everybody stands now. They clap. They make noise. And he walks through the room. It takes forever. And he's shaking hands with people. And the people are looking at him going, "I don't even like you, but I got to shake your hand because we're on TV." And anyway, you know, they kind of do this stuff. And he finally makes it through this whole massive crowd of people who are all politicians and things. And he gets up to the platform up here. And they're still clapping. And he opens his book. And he has it laid out there like that, and he's getting ready to give his speech, and then this guy over here, I don't know who tells him when it's supposed to do it, but he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." Like, we don't know. We've seen him on TV, we've seen him in the newspaper, they just introduced him, but they introduce him again. And then everybody stands again, even people that don't like him, and they clap, and they clap, and they clap. And he's going like this, but it just means, come on, you know. But no, he tells them to sit down, you know, be quiet, but so he can give his speech. But, you know, they keep clapping. They clap for a long time. Well, that pomp and circumstance, we do because we honor the one who holds that position. Even if we don't agree with him politically, or even if we do, the fact of the matter is we honor his position. Now, when a president, I watched a movie last night. Sorry. If I mess this up, you can help me out. It was called In the Line of Fire. It's a Clint Eastwood movie. And it's an old movie. And he was one of those Secret Service guys. Anybody seen that movie? And it's on, this is like on Channel 54. What's that called? TV Land. It's like the old movies. So Clint's gotten to that point. Anyway, he's a Secret Service guy protecting the president. And the whole story, the whole movie's about him protecting the president and all this kind of stuff. And I thought about how prepared they have to be. I mean, the president's going to come to this place to give a speech, and they pull those big grates up out of the middle of the street, and go down in there and check around, make sure nobody's in there, and then they seal it, Secret Service. They take all of the mailboxes off the street. They do a lot of stuff to prepare for our president to walk into a place to give a speech. Now, this is just a movie, but that's the kind of things that they really do. Because they want to protect him and care for him, and they honor him in his position. How much more should not God's people prepare for the coming of the Savior into our presence? Now, can you imagine, maybe some of you have seen it, when the Queen of England actually comes out in the sun? Shows herself. Everybody puts their sunglasses on because she's not been out in the sun like for 73 years. But they honor her because she's just a woman of honor, and they honor her. And we should, as God's kids, prepare ourselves for the presence of the Lord to show up each time that we come. Now, today's message is really pretty quick here. The introduction is longer than the sermon. The first point is this: stay in line with your past. Stay in line with the past. You say, why do you say that? I think what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, In verse 5, it says, so Solomon finished all his work on the temple of the Lord. Then he brought all the gifts of his father David and had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and the various articles, and he stored them in the treasuries of the temple of God. Now notice what Solomon does. Solomon is finally going to build the temple that David promised. David never got around to it because he had all kinds of problems in his life and never got to it. The great king, but he just never got to it. Never made a place for God permanently to live. And so Solomon takes it on, and he takes on this position to build what we know as Solomon's temple. In this temple, they're going to dedicate this thing, but the first thing he does is he gets all the things that were sacred to his dad. All the things that have been set apart. See, one of the things that I think that we have a problem with in the church today is we think we've got to do everything new. There's sure nothing wrong with new, but stay in touch with the past. Stay in touch, stay in line. There's this great episode of The Rifleman. Now, Rifleman, probably my favorite Western, really close to Gunsmoke, but for those shows. I love The Rifleman. I want to have one of those guns really bad. I may not be able to hit anything, but I want one. If anybody knows how to build those, I'll take one. But there's this one story in The Rifleman, one episode where Lucas and Mark are out in the desert getting salt for their meat, and they lose their animals and all this kind of stuff. A bunch of stuff happens, and they lose their horses, and they're walking back towards, and they have to go over these little mountains out in the desert, and Lucas gets his foot hurt, and he can't walk anymore. And so finally, he's at the end of it, and he's probably going to die because he's out in the desert with no water, no food, nothing, none of the things that he needed. And so he sends his son, Mark. Now, you know how close they are if you've ever seen the show. He sends him on a journey to find help. And here's what he tells him. He said, you see these mountains right back here? He said, you keep your eye on that. And at the same time, I want you to keep your eye on that mountain up there. And every time you get out here a little ways like this, I want you to turn around and look back and see that you're still in line from where you came from. See, what happens to the church? What happened to all the people that sit right here? What happens to the church a lot of times is we have this tendency to think, oh man, we got to do something new, something fresh, something exciting, something we've never done before. We got to do it in a way we've never done it before. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm all for new things because God is about doing a new thing. But the reason that we can stay true to God's word and true to what his purpose is for the church is we stay in touch with our past. We stay in touch with what God has made sacred before in our life. We stay in touch with that. So David had erected a tent for the Ark of the Covenant, but Solomon builds a temple, but he takes those things that are precious to his dad and he puts them in there. And the glory of the Lord rests upon the place. So we'll see in just a moment. Now the second point is called a total abandon to worship. See, I don't think the church has this yet. And what I'm talking about, a total abandon to worship, is that we began to learn how to abandon everything else in our life to worship the King. He deserves it. You know, I know there's a lot of things important going on in your life. I know there's a lot of things you need to keep your mind on, you need to do. But how many of you know that when we come together on a Sunday or Wednesday or whenever and we're going to worship, God really at least deserves an hour and a half or 2 hours if it takes of unashamed, just absolutely abandoned worship. He deserves us. I mean, can you imagine? The God of the universe. And we come in here to worship and we worry about giving him an hour and a half or 2 hours out of our week. The God of heaven. We can't sit still in church. It's the most crazy thing I've ever seen in the world today. In the church today, we're the most movingest bunch of people. We do all these dramas and these things to kind of help you with the attention span because our attention span is like zero. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest with you right now. Now, you can pick up a Bible right now, anything heavy that you want to throw at me, but I'm going to tell you. When we come to the end of a message and we're having a time of decision and people are deciding what they want to do to serve God, don't get up and walk out. Because you can be the distraction to keep them from making that decision. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, I would not want to stand before the God of heaven because I had to be so selfish to go get a drink of water at the time somebody's making a decision. Now listen, if you're going to throw up on the pew or something, feel free. You're going out. If you get sick or something like that, but make sure that the distraction fits the need, okay? You understand? If you're going to make a distraction, don't make it at that time. Make it while I'm talking, while I'm preaching. Not when the decision time comes. What we do is, Steve always, or Buzz, whoever's running sound, they'll turn the lights down at that time of decision so people have a little bit of privacy. And the next thing you know, somebody walks out and that door opens and the sunshine comes in and everybody goes, shoo. Don't do it. The God of heaven wants to reach into the heart of a person in this room today and touch their life and change their heart. And our movement could be the distraction that keeps them from being able to stay focused. Go ahead, throw the stuff. I don't care. I'm serious about what I'm talking about. There's reasons to leave, and that's fine. You'll know what those are. But just because you're kind of tired of sitting there, the God of heaven deserves this time. He deserves us to be before His Word. He deserves us to worship. When we come up in just a moment, just in a few moments, we're gonna do a couple of more things here, but then we're gonna have some worship at the end of music. And Steve and the worship team will come and lead us. That's not a good time to leave. That may be right when God touches you. That may be right when the Holy Spirit wants to use your gift. Don't be distracted. Don't you think that God deserves your absolute, complete attention for a little bit of time? Now, how many of you know we ought to be giving Him our attention more than Sunday morning? But I'm just talking about right now. The presence of God is here right now. He's in this place, in this moment right now. He's here to touch your life, a total abandon. I'm going to read a scripture, and then Jonathan is going to sing a song that speaks this for us. Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of tribes, the leaders of the ancestral families of Israel. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant to the temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. So all the men of Israel assembled before the king at the annual festival of shelters, or the Feast of Booths, which is what we call it a lot, which is held early in the autumn. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the Levites picked up the ark. The priests and the Levites brought up the ark along with the special tent and all the sacred items that had been in it. There before the ark, King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed so many sheep, goats, and cattle that no one could count. Now, we have places in the scripture where they actually did count, so we know they had the ability to, but this is such abandonment to worship that God calls the men, the elders. Now, this is no shot at women, so just listen to me for a moment. But when Solomon called the elders and called the priests to come, he was talking to the men. Women were absolutely also welcome. But he called the men. He said, I want men to come. And they came. In 1 Timothy chapter 2:8, it says, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Listen, if we want God to come in His power and His anointing and His Shekinah glory, every week I hear Buzz praying in intercessory prayer, let your Shekinah fall upon us. We have a banner that says the glory of God, Shekinah. We have it. We believe in the glory of the Lord coming and resting upon His people, don't we? But it comes when we put away our pride. We put away our personal needs. We put away all the stuff that's on our mind and the attention that we feel like we deserve. And we release it. And with total abandon, we worship the God of heaven, giving Him all that we have, all of our focus, so much that it couldn't even be counted. Jonathan's going to sing a song right now, playing Steve Cunningham's cool guitar. And he's going to minister to you a song that speaks to this. And we have come back for one more quick point, and then we're going to worship the Lord.
Can my guitar get turned on? Please. Thank you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, I soar to you, surrender all I am is yours. Come on, new beginning, make your stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one.
Assure you that these people in the day of Solomon didn't care what anyone thought or what the cost. See, meat for them was pretty expensive and they didn't get to eat a lot of it, but here they are now worshiping God by, the scripture says, sacrificing so many sheep and goats and cattle that no one could keep count. All of a sudden, lunch didn't matter. All of a sudden, their schedule was secondary. Because the presence of God was coming to take its rightful place. The Ark of the God who had traveled around through the desert and the wilderness for years and years and years, leading God's people. And now I'd been stuck in a tent that David had built. Not that that was a bad thing. It just wasn't the final place that God had for it. And Solomon was finally faithful enough to build a temple. And now the priests, the men, have been summoned to the city to lift holy hands and worship. And the priests began to get that ark on their shoulders and they began to walk. And before the Ark of the Covenant, so many animals are slaughtered. Now, I'm not suggesting we should slaughter animals. I'm suggesting that we should slaughter anything that we think is of value that we place before God. Things of our time, our schedule, our money, our desires, our wants, where we live a total abandonment to ourselves and what we think is important, and live and worship unto the living God of the universe. See, when they worship like this, they worship with all their might. And they took that Ark of the Covenant and they walked through the holy place and into the holy of holies, the most holy place, and they put it in its rightful place. Total abandonment to worship the King. God needs to take His rightful place in our priorities. He needs to take His rightful place in what we think is important. He needs to take His rightful place in your heart and mind. Now, something had to happen. Not only did they need to stay in touch with their past, not only did they need to come to total abandonment in that song that Jonathan sang and led us in, the song by Hillsong United, kind of his version of it, but it's a song from them, and we honor them and thank them for that song. What a powerful song it is. That total abandon, just all out for God. But not only that, the priests who were present purified themselves. The Bible calls you and I kings and priests. It's time for us to purify our hearts. The New Testament says people who don't purify their hearts are called double-minded people. And the scripture says that double-minded people are unstable in all their ways, and that person should not expect to receive anything from God. You might, because God's gracious, but a person who's double-minded is a person that cannot expect to receive from God. You want God's presence to come upon you, upon your church and your gatherings together? Do you want church to be not church as normal? You want to have church be something different? Then you place the King in his rightful place. First place. Right in the center of your heart. Everything else takes second to it, to his presence. Now something happened that's really strange in this story. We see it in verse 9, where it says, these poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the temple's main room, the holy place, but not from the outside. They are still there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except for the two stone tablets, which was the law of God, the Ten Commandments that we know them, that Moses had placed in it at Mount Sinai, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they left Egypt. You know, in our world today, in our church, modern world, we're so caught up on excellence, and I'm all for excellence, by the way. But who made this mistake? What a travesty. Solomon builds this incredible temple. They got all the men there for the festival, and all the women are there too. They got the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And they get to this wonderful temple. They put the Ark of the Covenant in its rightful place, but something's wrong. Something wrong with this picture, because the room wasn't big enough. The staves, the poles that the priests used to carry it are sticking out. Not out in the public, but out into the holy place. Who made that mistake? Who didn't measure right? You know what we do in the church today? We're so worried about everything looking just perfect and everything just going just right and timed, and we've got everything just... The presence of God took its rightful place, and the sticks are showing. But was it a mistake? I don't think it was a mistake. I think one reason that those sticks showed, those poles showed out there, was so people could be reminded that God's presence does dwell there. Another reason that showed was to be a reminder to the priests as they came to serve in the holy place that they weren't traveling anymore. That they had come to this place with God, where they were established, and his place of worship was once and for all set up, and there would be no more wandering. There would be no more going around through the deserts trying to find God. But God had finally set up his place. And I want you to know that the God of heaven has set up his place today. If you'll open your heart, he set his place up in your heart. And your place of worship is not a building. Your place of worship is to put Jesus central in everything that you do and say. Put him here. Number one. Because they moved from just getting to the promised land to experiencing the promised life that God had for his people. The poles reminded them that the ark was there, that the presence of God was before them. And something strange happens at the end of this story. God's taken his place. Animals have been slaughtered. Priests are all in their place. They're all doing their duties. Even the priests that weren't on duty purified themselves. May not be your day to serve, but you still need to purify yourself. Then something strange happens. The Bible says at the very end of this passage that all of a sudden 120 priests start sounding trumpets. The cymbals start making all kinds of racket, noise, sound. Worship becomes absolutely incredibly loud. Somebody said to me one time, why do we sing songs that are so loud sometimes? Heaven's going to be loud. Can you imagine 120 people blowing trumpets at the same time? The Bible says that they didn't just blow the trumpets. They did it in unison. What that means? That means that in unison, this sound, this incredible blowing of the trumpet, is like, wow! Worship happens. Worship is extended. The trumpets and the cymbals. The people are giving thanks. And then something else strange happened. Those people, you know what they began to do? They started raising their voices. And you know how you raise your voice? It doesn't mean you get up on the pew. It means you make noise out your mouth. They raised their voices. The sound. You got 120 trumpeters going. You got cymbal players going. You got all these people and all these other kind of instruments going on. And then the Bible says that the people raised their voices. They began to make loud noise before God. They gave it total abandonment. They didn't care what anybody thought. The God of heaven had taken his rightful place. They weren't worried about when the end of church was. They wanted to see God. They wanted to experience his presence. They wanted all attention to be focused completely and thoroughly on God. Everything about them was abandoned to worship. You know what they got that day? Let me read what they got. They got a gift certificate to Chili's. No. They proclaimed that he is good and is faithful and his love endures forever. And look at what happens. And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, the Shekinah. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. Anybody kind of remember that the Bible says you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? When we put Jesus in the rightful place, we come to total abandonment to ourselves and worship before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he takes his place. This story shows us that not only would his little piece of furniture show up, but his glory, the visible effect of his presence, came like a cloud over them. And all of a sudden, the priests who were doing their duties, going through their motions and doing their religious thing, all of a sudden couldn't even stand to minister anymore. They had to stand back and say, God. And people say in the church all the time they'd like God to show up. People come up to me all the time and say, boy, Pastor Ron, I really liked it when we had that one service. Remember when you just prayed for everybody and the power of God was on everybody? Remember that time your sermon wasn't very long? Because God showed up and you had to quit preaching? You know, shut the preacher up? Call down the power of God, the presence of God in the place. Because then even the priest couldn't stand to minister by reason of the cloud. You see, we spend so much time in God's church today, in the modern church, with our excellence and trying to do all our little fancy things. And because we don't get the response that we want sometimes, we keep trying to get the response we want, keep trying to do it, make sounds better and do everything better. All we really need is God to show up. I'm all for sound. I'm all for doing fancy stuff. Caleb writes great dramas, great song today. We've got other people serving in areas. I said all that. But wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be so cool if all of a sudden all those who are serving, even those not on duty, would step back and say, God, come among us today. Well, it doesn't start because we orchestrate that in a church service. It starts when each one of us individually let Jesus have his rightful place. Want God to show up? Stay in touch with what God's done in your past. Keep in touch. Don't throw it away because it's old. But don't stay there either. Enter into God's plan for your life. Make way, make room for the presence of the Lord to come among us. And I promise you, He will. 30 plus years of ministry, I've never seen God show up when people are in a hurry. I've never seen God show up in that powerful way, that real credible way that we long for. Those special services when people have got their minds on everything else. I'll tell you when He shows up is when at least two of you say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to totally abandon everything to worship my God. Worship team, would you come, please? While they're coming with every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've never received Christ as my Savior. I've never become a Christian. And I understand that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. And if I'll put my trust in Him, I can receive eternal life. Right there in the privacy of your seat, if you've never received Christ, would you just simply lift your hand up and put it back down again? Just saying, I want to receive Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you, make you do anything. I just want to pray over you. Anyone like that this morning? Maybe say, Pastor Ron, you know what I'd like to do? I would really like to just totally abandon myself to the presence of God and see Him show up in my life. Maybe there's some areas of your life that you've never given over to His Lordship. You've never said, Jesus, this belongs to You. I give it away. Maybe it's your hurts or your past. Maybe it's the brokenness of your life. Maybe it's a relationship that's out of order. Maybe it's words that you've spoken that were hurtful to somebody else. Whatever's on your mind that keeps you being focused completely on the Savior, it's time to lay it down. And then all we're going to do is worship. Got a few songs here. I know we're going over, but who cares? Not even that far. If you want God, He so longs to show up. He so longs to want to come among us. He wants to come up in here by His glory. And the cloud of the glory of the Lord overshadow us. But we've got to lay those things down that keep us distracted. If you have something like that today you want to lay down, just by point of contact, just to say, yeah, that's me. Would you lift your hand up? I'm going to lay some things down today. Yeah, I see your hand. Anyone? Yeah, I see your hand. I want to lay some things down. Things that keep me distracted from God, yeah. Lord, do that in Your people today. Help us to respond to You. With all of our hearts totally abandoned unto You. We don't want to miss a moment of Your presence. We don't want to miss a moment of the experience. Experiencing You. And Lord, today I pray that as we're faithful, that You'll come even stronger than you've already here right now. And in very real and visible and physical and spiritual ways, pour your power out upon, your presence out upon your kids today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I ask you just in these next few moments, it's going to take a few moments more, but just in these next few moments, to really listen to the power of the Spirit. As the worship team leads us, just abandon yourself to worship. Don't worry about what the person next to you is saying or thinking. Just worship Him. If you need to get to the altar, get down here. Just abandon yourself before God's presence. And He'll touch you in a way you've never been touched before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship our King.